Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forevermore. Lo, I make all things new. Isn't that a tremendous clash and contradiction? As it was in the beginning, I make all things new. As it was now and ever shall be, I make all things new. I think he'd better get on it. I don't like the now. I don't like the then in the past or in the future, the then in either direction. I don't like it, and there's not much I can do about it. Although many, many people think they can do something about it, either explain it away in fruitless theodicies, or create eco-theologies, which are not really theological at all. They're not about God as powerful, good creator. They're about the hubris of man, who is living under the delusion that he can do something about it. And not only preserve or conserve, but also be victor. Be fruitful. Arrive at order in this world. To bring about order out of the chaos. How long will it take? No matter. It is a loop. A loop that takes back to the beginning. How far back to the beginning? Oodles and oodles and oodles of time. And yet we say, as it was beginning, is now, and ever shall be. For the Christian and for the biblical view, there's not oodles and oodles of time in the beginning, but there's, pardon me, oodles and oodles of time in the future and on the end. No, the end, like the beginning, has within it both a beginning and an end. What Jesus does has no end. Everything that you and I do comes to an end. We have a beginning and we have an end. That makes everything seem so worthless and vain. If we knew today what our future would bring, if I could tell you, each one of you, I believe that this place would be empty in an instant because it doesn't look grand. It doesn't look good. The past doesn't look good. The present doesn't look good. And the future looks worse. But from a biblical point of view, the future is actually worse than the most nihilistic perspectives of this world will offer. Holding on to this world's order by white-knuckled fingertips. Vain efforts to preserve and conserve the heavens and the earth. Because things are supposed to revolve around me. And God is supposed to be in the business of making me happy in the environs, the environment, and the universe in which I think I'm the center. No. As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever and ever. Lo, I make all things new. You see, this is not it. This is not it. This is not either end or beginning or transition. It's as we say, glory be to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and what is it as it was? Well, it's the whole thing. And the whole thing was there in the beginning, and the whole thing of theology was in the now, and the whole thing is doxological response forever. When is God making all things new? As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. He is the one who creates a universe that is perfectly conditioned for man's welfare and enjoyment and entertainment and fruitful labor. But it doesn't seem like that to me, or to you, or to anyone else. But that's not God's fault. He was making all things new in the beginning, and in the past, and in the present, and in the future. All things new. How about a new heart, a new attitude, a new and right spirit within me? Lo, he makes all things new. On a large scale, on the macrocosmic dimension, but also on the microcosmic. And that micro is me. And that micro is you. If he can make me new, as old as I am, he can make everything new. Or if that doesn't suit you, turn it around. If he can renew the universe, can he not also make you new? You see, it's all the same. To make me new requires the same power of a creator to accomplish this. It is beyond human accomplishment. It is beyond human power. I do not have the power within me to renew my spirit. He renews my spirit. And on the last day, he continues to make all things new. As this present order falls away in decay from my interventions on my own behalf, God will not have that. God would not keep me relying on my weakness, on my mortality, on my sinfulness. God would have me rely on his love, his regenerative spirit, the waters he created to sustain life now become the waters to sustain life. Life eternal, out of death, made alive by the power of the Spirit working in those waters. Lo, he makes things all things new. That means now is the vision fulfilled. John saw this, and it was a holy city coming from God, from outside, just as God always handles our sin from outside. John sees the vision of a new heaven and earth. That's very comforting. It's very comforting because we know that there's going to be a place for us, a new, broad place flowing with milk and honey, in which there are no more strifes and conflicts, no beating each other to a pulp, love replacing sadness, joy replacing tears, all things new. Tears become joy. Sadness becomes welfare and security. We have a city that is ours now already. We are that city, that New Jerusalem that John saw. But it's not just us today, as it was in the beginning, is now and shall be forever. It is also all those believers from now until he comes again. This is something of a private vision that God honored John with. The last day simply means that it is no longer a privileged vision for one or two or three. We will behold his glory. And not only us through John's eyes, but all people will see the new Jerusalem, the new heaven and earth, which is the ultimate testimony. He makes all things new. Let's live as though he meant it. He did mean it. He instructed John to write this in a book because it is faithful and true. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.